Good morning, Stavanger, and welcome to our Reformation Sunday service. We have a few announcements today. The Tuesday Bible study, Meeting Jesus in Mark, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can see Pastor John for locations and other questions. The Bible study at Shady Oaks is on Tuesday as well at 7 p.m., and you can come see me about that. And we're continuing our youth group on Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Messiah Lutheran Church, this time in Underwood, and you can see Pastor Eric about that. There's a deacon board meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m. We love that 7 p.m. slot. And the offering plate is at the back for anyone who wants. We also have we have a congratulations for Zach and Amanda and their new baby girl, Charlotte Maple. So am I just not seeing? Okay, yeah, good. Perfect. And then I think you have an announcement. Oh, sorry, can't forget this one. You have your Operation Christmas Child, and the list is updated there on what we need. So just pay close attention to this list here. And that is, we're trying to get all those by 9 a.m. next Sunday. So, yeah, that's important to get all those in. Thank you very much. And now, all right.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 read this way. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So Paul is telling us here what these gifted people are for in the church. They are here to build us up, to equip us for the ministries that God has called us to as a congregation and as individuals. And as October is Pastor Appreciation Month, as we announced last week, we are having a light lunch downstairs after the service today. You're invited to come. If you brought cards and want to leave cards, there's a place set up for that. So also, you'll see these poster boards here. These are cards that the Sunday school kids and adults have contributed to. And if you haven't signed these and want to, you can sign these after the service too. And then each pastor will get their card there. So join us for a light lunch afterwards and to celebrate our pastors. Thank you.
Thank you. And then just before we start, we have a testimony video from... Or is it just a testimony? It's a video, right? Okay. From Gianna.
So I've been a Christian all my life, since the time I was baptized as an infant. But my baptism story is kind of a unique one. So at the time when I was born, my parents were not yet married. And because of that, the church where my mom grew up did not want to baptize me because my parents were not married. And so that set off a search. My mom called several churches and was told that I couldn't be baptized in those churches because my parents weren't married, until they called and reached a Lutheran Brethren church, Bethel Lutheran Church in Huntington Station, New York. And pastor there was Stan Olson at the time, and some of you may know Stan. He and his wife Cheryl now live in Fergus, but he was the pastor there at the time and agreed to have us come in, and he agreed to baptize me. And so I was baptized in that church, and at first my dad would come and bring me to the, you know, children's events, to VBS, to Sunday school, things like that. But he himself kept pretty distant. But as he was bringing me to church events and meeting the congregation there, becoming familiar with them, They invited him in and invited him to participate, and eventually we started attending every Sunday. My father became very active in the church and even became a deacon. And church became a really important central part of my childhood and a part of my family life. And so I'm very thankful for that church, for Stan Olson, for the LB, for giving grace to my family all the way back when, because I'm not sure where I'd be in my faith if I'd be Christian or if I would have been raised in a church if it wasn't for that. So. A verse that has been really important to me and actually was my confirmation verse is 1 Peter 1:24-25. And it reads, "For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." And that verse has just continued to be meaningful to me throughout my life, reminding me that through all difficulties and challenges, that ultimately the Lord stands, God is there, and he will never fail and he will never fall. So there are many ways that I see God working in my life. But really, most recently, it's been really clear and cool to see God working through my husband Eric in his call into ministry, and you know, through completing seminary, and now receiving a call to Bethany Lutheran Church in East Hartland, Connecticut. What's kind of really cool about that is that one of the families that has been has had a long history there at that church in Connecticut is the Olson family. And as I mentioned before, Stan Olson was the pastor who had agreed to baptize me when no other church really or any other pastor would agree to do that. Stan Olson is actually related to the Olson family, and Stan grew up in East Hartland. That was his home childhood church and in the town where he grew up. So it's kind of cool to see God working and for things to feel full circle.
Yeah, so just a reminder again, today is Reformation Sunday, where we celebrate the Reformation and the great light that kind of broke out on the church in the 1500s. And so we are going to be singing A Mighty Fortress a bit later here. So just a little announcement there. Let us begin our worship service with the call to worship from Psalm 46, which is the psalm that Luther, I think, got inspiration for as A Mighty Fortress. So let us begin here. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. The nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's have a moment of silence. Thank you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could gather here today. We thank you that you have brought us here as your children to hear your word. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we can even hear this word in our own languages and to have the gospel faithfully proclaimed. Today, we remember how you worked through our forefathers and those who came before us in the church, Lord, to bring this gospel to bear again. Lord, we thank you for all the work you did through the many voices, including Martin Luther and other people, Lord. We thank you that you have made your light shine here in this church and in many churches. Lord, we thank you that your word is upheld here. Lord, we pray that today we would be open to hearing that word and letting that word come into our hearts and to transform us into your likeness more and more. Lord, we pray that we would hear your promises and your forgiveness and your love for us. And we ask that you would help us again to hold firm to this word and to proclaim it to our neighbors and to all those around us, a word that the world so desperately needs. Lord, we ask that you would silence all the other voices today in our hearts and just open us now to receiving this time and to hearing you and to giving you praise. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now stand for worship in song, Mighty Fortress.
Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2, and also verse 5. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, and your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. Please be seated and continue singing for this Be Unto Your Name.
Thank you.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God,
who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all of our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and he has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Now let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Luke Delaney to come up and do our reading.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28, and that'll be found on page 913 of your Pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law.
Thank you. Let us now come before the Lord in prayer again. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word and for the opportunity to praise your name, Lord. Lord, we call upon you to be with those who are suffering, Lord, in this world, Lord, those who suffer from war or famines or disease, Lord. We pray that you would comfort them. We pray that you'd use your church wherever it is found to be a blessing in the midst of darkness, Lord. Lord, we pray for our leaders in this country. We pray that they would turn towards you, that they would see that you are almighty, and that they would trust in you and look to you. We pray that all nations would come. Father, we pray that our local government here as well would be blessed, and that all the administration of different police duties or other things would be taken care of, Lord. We pray for a blessing over the hospitals and the schools. We continue to pray for those in our congregations who are suffering from various illnesses or ailments, Lord. Lord, would you please be with them, especially comfort them with your Holy Spirit and the knowledge of your love for them, even in the midst of trials and difficulties. Father, would you be with Pastor John today as well? Would you help him to have the confidence to preach your word boldly and strengthen him and give him wisdom and ability here, Lord, to convict our hearts through your Spirit, Lord. Would you be there in the preaching and give us all more and more of your goodness, Lord. Lord, we ask that you'd open our hearts to receive this and that we'd be there, Lord. We pray just a blessing over the rest of the service. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And let us pray with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In 1517, a monk and university professor named Martin Luther wished to have a scholarly debate concerning the topic of indulgences. He did what any university professor would do. He composed an invitation to debate and came up with 95 talking points concerning indulgences. The original title of the invitation was Disputation of Martin Luther on the Power and Efficacy of Indulgences. But most people called it the 95 Theses. Indulgences was money paid to the Roman Catholic Church to secure a shorter stay in purgatory for anyone you were paying on behalf of a departed loved one, perhaps. Luther did not see how this was practice or belief was supported by Scripture and wanted to just have a chat. Well, on October 31st, 1517, Luther sent copies of the 95 Theses to his own supervisor and to the archbishop who supervised the sale of indulgences. Much to Luther's surprise, the 95 Theses became very popular. Within 2 weeks, copies of this document had spread throughout Germany, and within 2 months throughout Europe, printers began translating the 95 Theses from the original Latin into local languages, printed and widely copied them, making this one of the first demonstrations of the power of the press. After Luther died, some of his friends said that he also posted the 95 Theses on the university bulletin board, which was the front door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg on October 31st, 1517, the day before the Feast of All Saints on November 1st, otherwise known as All Hallows' Eve, or come to be known as Halloween, October 31st. Because October 31st doesn't fall on a Sunday this year, this Sunday, today, we are observing this festival of the Reformation. As we observe the Reformation of the 16th century, we first of all should make sure that we know what it is. The Reformation is about returning to the truth. In the case of government reform, it's about getting rid of corruption. and getting back to the law of the land. In the case of religious reform, it is about getting back to God's Word. And that's where we go now in John chapter 8, where we have the words of our Lord Jesus. I invite you to rise as you're able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. From John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, I read in Jesus' name. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, if you remain in my teaching, if you abide in my teaching, in my word, my message, you are truly my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It says Jesus was talking to the Jews who had believed him. We're not exactly sure who they are, but they might be some of the folks that we read about in John chapter 6, if you want to follow along in your Bibles. Just a couple of chapters earlier, Jesus was teaching, referring to himself as the bread of life. And in that teaching, he made some pretty shocking statements. He says, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." Well, it says a few verses later, in verse 60, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And verse 66, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." Jesus teaches his disciples in the parable of the sower. You may be familiar with it. A sower goes out to sow seed, and it falls on various surfaces, a hard path where it doesn't even get a chance to take root. Birds eat it, carry the seed away. Falls on rocky soil, pops up, grows quickly, but has no depth of root. Sun comes out, withers. Grows up in weedy soil, pops up, and it grows, but the thorns and other weeds choke it out. Not all who begin with Jesus continue with Jesus. And he's saying, if you remain in my teaching, if you carry on, if you abide, then you're truly my disciples. Not just those who flash in the pan with enthusiasm from the get-go, but those who stay with him, remain with him and his teaching. Those are the real followers of Jesus. And the consequence, the result of being a follower of Jesus is knowing the truth and being set free. Remain in the teaching of Jesus. Be a true disciple. Know the truth and be set free. It sounds rather attractive, until perhaps we realize and begin to experience what this means in real life, in real terms. See, abiding in Jesus means forsaking something else. Abiding in the truth means forsaking lies. Lies were something that didn't exist in the world until Satan brought them in, put them in the ears of Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve listened to the lies and acted on them, well, things haven't been the same since. But Jesus has broken into the world, the truth, the Word of God, the Word made flesh. And He is here to set people free. Because lies lead to sin, sin leads to slavery and death and condemnation. But Jesus sets forward an alternate path to remain in His teaching, to be His follower, to know the truth, and to be set free. Freedom, let's talk in our American context, that's a word pretty precious to us. Shows up in our nation's founding documents. It's something people have fought and sacrificed for, have died for. What is it? What is freedom? Well, there's different types of freedom. There's civil and political freedoms, the kinds that are spoken of in our nation's founding documents, the kind that perhaps Jesus' listeners in this passage are thinking of when they say, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How shall we be set free? And it's curious they would say that if they knew their Jewish history, which they probably did. They would know that they were slaves in Egypt. They would know that they were slaves in Assyria and Babylon, slaves to the Persians, slaves to the Greeks, slaves to the Romans. Who weren't they slaves to? There was a sense, though, that even though they might acknowledge they had other more powerful political entities over them as a nation in their history and even in their present, as when this passage takes place, the Romans were over them, they had a sense that because they were Abraham's descendants, they were free in a sense, because any nation that is over them is only there because God allows them, and that is true. And one day God would break the yoke of their oppressors and set them free, which He did throughout their history. But Jesus is talking about a different kind of freedom. He's talking about a spiritual kind of freedom. A kind that matters not just for this life, but for eternity. He says, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. He's talking about matters of forever. We can enjoy civil and political freedoms for a time in this life, but they don't secure the kind of freedom we need for eternity. There's a number of things that we can think of as substitutes for real freedom. We think of freedom, we think of personal choice, that we can live our lives how we want. And if the laws of the land allow us to live in ways that God says we should not live. We can deceive ourselves to do whatever we feel like. But our feelings don't make us free. Lies don't make us free. Actualizing ourselves do not make us free. Trusting in another sinful human being to give us what we want doesn't make us free. Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, went through a lot of things that he was reflecting on in life, all his accomplishments, all his wealth, all the pleasures he allowed himself. In the end, it didn't make him free. And he recognized it. In the end, he said, the best we can do is to enjoy the blessings God allows us to enjoy, to fear him, and keep his commandments. But that's where that problem comes in. It's just, how free are we to keep his commandments? When I'm told, you have to do this, what do I want to do? Something else. At least not that. When I have to, when I must, when I am being talked at as though I were a slave, not able to choose for myself. Now, if someone's really crafty and they make me think that thing they want me to do is my idea, they might have some more success, maybe, if I'm not smart enough to figure it out. But where does real freedom come from? And here's where the rub is. We can't produce it on ourselves. We can't discover it on our own. We can't conjure it up. It's something, it's a gift. And it's in the person of Jesus. And the paradox of the gospel here is that in order to be free, we need to become a servant. A servant of the one who was truly free and made himself a servant for you and I. The Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 5. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He was encouraging them not to go back to a yoke of slavery, a yoke of spiritual bondage, of trying to make oneself righteous before God by what one does for him or herself. Now he says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. But he goes on in a few verses later to say, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Our culture, the world around us, it doesn't always tell us the truth. When we're watching advertisements, you know, buy this, subscribe to this service, your life will be better, you'll feel good. Freedom. It's interesting, Dave Ramsey points this out in his courses, you know, there's credit cards that have freedom in the title, you know, and by the use of them, you're potentially putting yourself into real bondage of exorbitant interest rate if you don't pay it off on time. It's a lie. Or at least not the whole truth. We can go through life and come to a point, and I'm realizing this myself, you get on a few years and you can start to think like, I'm just entitled to enjoy something just for my own selfish pleasures. I can enjoy my time. The kids are out of the house. I can do what I want. Wow. It's a pretty seductive type of thing. And it's not bad to be able to do things you enjoy. It's not a bad thing. God wants us to enjoy the blessings that He gives us. But there's that mindset of who is in the center of it. The irony here, the paradox of the gospel is that we don't really enjoy freedom unless we render ourselves as a servant in the manner of Jesus. I saw this in real terms as I think about a retired couple our family came to know some years ago when our kids were young. We had returned from the mission field. We were in a time of transition, time of uncertainty, basically homeless and without a job. And a family of seven, myself included, to house and feed. It was at that point where a couple who were living on their retirement farm, retired missionaries themselves, their kids were out of the home. They had their kind of dream retirement set up, opened their home for us to stay with them for an undefined period of time until we could figure out what's next. Bob and Joyce Andrews became like family to us. They cheerfully and willingly gave up the comfort of their quiet retirement for a house full of young kids that weren't related to them. I should have known better to mention this today. We laid Joyce to rest yesterday. 2 weeks ago, and we heard she was declining. We got Tammy and I and Michaela and her husband Josiah. We got to visit with her, and one of the last things she said to me as we said goodbye, she said our lives, her and her husband, our lives changed from the time you lived with us, your family. She said, for the better, with a twinkle in her eye. They knew the joy of giving, of serving, because of Jesus. That's what it looks like. It wasn't because of how good of a person Bob or Joyce was. It was because Jesus was living in them, abiding in them. His word had abided in them for many years, and we can see the fruits of it, and they remained with Jesus. I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. That if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So we're sad. We said goodbye to Joyce, but we rejoice that she is free. See, Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. That's a right now reality. But there's an already and not yet aspect to this. Because he says, and you will know the truth, will know, future, fully. And the truth will set you free. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that now we see dimly as in a mirror. We know in part, but then, on that day, when he calls us home, we'll be fully known and we'll fully know Jesus. And that's where we are right now. We are truly his if he is in us and we are in him. And we are free. And yet we won't know that full sense of that freedom until the day he calls us home. So for now, it's about Jesus and remaining in him. You see, our mission statement is That's why we have that up there, is to know him personally, to know the truth. Jesus, the truth is not just a thing in our head, a concept. It's a person. You will know the truth. You will know Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. That's what Martin Luther was willing to live for and die for. That's why we have the Reformation, because it points us back to Jesus. It points us back to his word, where we get to know Jesus. So let us abide and rest and continue in him, even when it's not fun, because we have a promise that there's a greater joy than any fun we can imagine on this world that awaits us, where the truth will welcome us to an eternal abiding with him. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word made flesh, that you lived among us, that you showed us what it means to be free, to give, to self-sacrifice for the other, for the neighbor, for the world. Lord, I thank you for those who have pointed me to you, Bob and Joyce, among others. Lord, may we all be used by you to point others to you. Remind us, Lord, that in you we have been crucified and have been raised, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Make this a greater and greater growing reality in each of our lives. I ask it, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Well, can we now rise for our closing chorus? Go now in peace. Shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.